Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 44. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, what'd you do this past weekend? This has been a big week for you, traveling.
Yeah, I was down in Indianapolis visiting with my family. It was probably one of the last summer weekends, at least in my estimation. So I wanted to get out and do a little wakeboarding and water skiing and just hang out with the family. Took a trip down to Bloomington on Saturday morning to see the Indiana Hoosiers football team defeat one of the worst teams in the country in the Connecticut Huskies.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. How was your weekend?
Pretty good weekend. As you have noted on the outline, the Shockers won again. So we beat Shark Attack, a vaunted rival for many years. But both teams didn't have our star quarterback, so that probably influenced it. But we got the big win and a little time at Rinaldi's. But mostly I was gearing up for my work trip, which I'm still on, in the Jersey Shore. So a lot of this new company I work for, they can really party, as I was telling you before the podcast. So you might hear a little rasp in my voice here today. Yeah, it's been quite a weekend. I didn't do so great on the bets. I think I'm like 2-5 this last weekend. Horrible. But yeah, I know. But, you know, I mean, a lot of it's taking some chances I probably shouldn't. And you got to be smart about those picks, everybody. But yeah, I'll bounce back. So it's been an interesting week. I still got a couple more days on this trip back in the home office near Philly and Camden. And then I'll be back. And maybe we'll get an action sighting for the Shockers this weekend.
Yeah, potentially could be flying in for the big game. We'll see how my travel plans allow. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but if I can get there and have my season debut, I'd be happy to help.
That's awesome. Let's go over this episode. We do a mild legislative update with your in-person experience, Indiana. We'll go over college football in detail, the recap of week four, and then our look ahead for week five. A lot of interesting stuff there. Go over the metrics, SP plus and injuries. We'll then go into NFL. We'll recap week three, which was eventful. A little bit of injuries and news there. We'll go over our indices there. And then, obviously, we'll go over our Circa contest picks tete-a-tete. I'm going to pump it up now. We went 4-1, so we'll talk more about it later. But we had a much better week this week, so
whoop.
Very excited about that. Yeah, whoop. All right, well, let's talk about the legislative update. And it was Action's trip to Harrah's in Hoosier Park, and that was in Anderson, Indiana, is that right?
That's right, yeah. I was heading down from Detroit to visit the family and decided I'd make a quick pit stop on Friday night at The Book in Anderson, which is a new Harrah's venue, actually just opened on Thursday the 19th, and just wanted to check it out and see what things were like in there, how the operation was running, and of course get a couple of bets down. Thankfully I made it there just in the nick of time to get in a Milwaukee Brewers run line bet, which cashed. And then I also put in a parlay on Air Force catching, I think it was 7.5 points at Boise State and the under in that game. And it was looking good for quite a while, but then Boise State came back in the second half and just closed and ended up getting the cover. So the parlay lost, but I can report that the lines were not long and it was very clean and tidy, plenty of chairs in there. I did have a little bit of back and forth with the ticket writer, though, because she didn't really understand that I was trying to make a parlay on the same game. She kept saying, like, okay, what's the other game? What's the other game? And I was like, no, I want Air Force and the under, same game.
Right, exactly. That's a correlated play. Come on, let's go.
After some back and forth, it was definitely correlated. And at first I thought, well, maybe they won't let me put it in because it's too correlated. But then after she finally understood, she apologized and said, thanks for your patience. And I said, no problem. Happy to help you learn. And then I took my ticket, which ended up being a loser. So it was a good experience, though.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And that's kind of, well, we talked about some of these books are new, and there's going to be people that are new, and but there's opportunity sometimes as a result as well. So I mentioned before the podcast, I'm not committing to it, but I'm going to try it tomorrow night, maybe to check out one of the Pennsylvania area, the Philadelphia area books. Love to check that out, especially because the Eagles and Packers are playing tomorrow night. So it's kind of interesting when we start checking things out, since we've been to the big Vegas books and you've been to several. But yeah, did you also sign up for their online app for the, for Indiana?
I did not, no. And Indiana, I heard from some of the folks that were milling around, is they won't have mobile applications online until early 2020. So It doesn't sound like the infrastructure is in place yet. But I did also hear across a lot of the news media outlets yesterday that the book in Hammond could not write a ticket on the Redskins on Monday night. They just had Bears money that was flowing all day and all night, and I'm sure that ended up being a big loser for them as the Bears covered.
Yeah, they must have got hammered on that pick because they covered easily and in every facet, team total, over and everything. So interesting. Well, good. Well, let's jump into the college football action. We'll do a little recap here of our picks first from week four. We did okay in college. Obviously, your obscure Coastal Carolina, that came through easily.
Yeah, pure domination by the Chanticleers. They outgained UMass 6. They won 62-28 and outgained UMass 636 to 329 yards. And I've been reading across a lot of the folks that I follow in the industry where they have UMass power rated as the worst team in the last 25 years.
Whoa. So
that is a big.
It's just him. So even worse than UConn.
Right.
That's awesome. But, you did it. You went out there. You figured out we've been in this obscure matchup and cashed the ticket. Nice work.
Thank you.
We did have a push on the Oklahoma State, Texas, although I actually lost the matchup because I got it at 5. Get the best of the number, everybody. Actually, the number floated all the way up to 7 almost, I think.
Yeah. Game time.
So if you would have waited like we discussed, and I didn't do, you would have won because they did get right there to that 6-point threshold on the push. The game was interesting. Oklahoma State kind of blew it. I don't know what Gundy was doing. He decided to go for 4th and 1 or 4th and yard and a half or whatever inside the 10. They didn't do that. And then there was another opportunity where they didn't really go for the field goal, or they missed the field goal. And so they had an opportunity actually to be right there in the game. But Texas, they look pretty good. They seem to play a lot better than they did against LSU. And not just offensively, defensively. So maybe we had the right side there, but in the end, Texas at least got the push, or in my case, they got the cover.
Yeah, I still have some questions about their defense, though, to be honest. I saw that the Oklahoma State quarterback, Spencer Sanders, had a pretty good day, 268 yards, and then ran for over 100 as well. So I'll be looking to fade the Longhorns still moving forward.
Mm-hmm. That Sanders kid's really elusive. I watched most of the game. He's super elusive. So he was, when he broke the pocket, he was getting positive yards or making plays. That's something that Texas couldn't handle for sure. A couple of the losers from the weekend, we had obviously Georgia. We got them at 13. They really floated. I think they got up over 14. We listed 14 in the outline. I think they were up at 15, or I heard 16 and a half in certain cases at the bar I was watching the game at. And Notre Dame actually surprised me. They played really well in that game. And at one time, we were getting that push at 13, but then obviously Ian Book took them down for that score to get them within. And they almost had a shot to kind of make it interesting at the end, but Georgia just didn't look as sharp as I thought they would come out to be. Notre Dame was kind of owning them in the first half, but then finally Georgia did what we talked about. They were running it down their throat in the third quarter, and I don't think Notre Dame had a first down until midway through the fourth quarter in the second half. So they did take control, but they didn't put it up on the scoreboard, I guess.
Yeah, it was really, I think I told you I fell asleep about midway through, but reading and looking at the box score, I found out that Georgia really just did not run the ball like we expected them to. And when they did, they weren't very successful. 42% of their rushing plays were successful in that game. So really was impressed by Notre Dame and the way that they stood up to that Georgia team.
Yeah. So maybe they're better than we think. We'll see. They have some other tests going forward. They play this week. They have a decent game this week too, Notre Dame.
Yeah, home versus Virginia.
They didn't play well, but should be a good game. Another couple of losers, Cal at Ole Miss. I'm glad I didn't bet this one, by the way. You were on the right side there. Cal did get the win. But the first half, under 20, did not come in. They went over that total. There's a little more points early in that game than we thought.
Yeah, the first half was pretty high scoring, and it turns out they really slowed down in the second half. So the full game under, although I still don't think that one came in, it came awful close. The final score, 28-20, California pulled out the victory.
Mm-hmm. And then the other, well, I'm going to list this as a loser for you because you talked me out of this game. The Michigan-Wisconsin game, which I saw at the bar at Rinaldi's, I mean, first of all, Michigan stinks. Okay, let's just put it out there right now. Khakis or no khakis, they are terrible. And Wisconsin housed them. I mean, it was a red and white fest at Rinaldi's. People were going crazy. And Wisconsin, on the flip side, looks really good. But Michigan is not the team that people thought they would be. And it was not even close to the 3.5. They won, what was it, 35-13 or something like
that?
Yeah,
35-14 final score, but it wasn't even that close. And you're right, this was definitely my worst call of the weekend. Wisconsin was up 35-0 at one point, and they outrushed Michigan 359-40.
Ooh.
Total domination. Usually these Michigan teams play well in the trenches and they can match up with a team like Wisconsin, but it doesn't appear to be the case this year, and I am squarely off the bandwagon of the Wolverines.
Yeah, you can fade your fellow Michiganders over there. A couple of the other games that came through for us, again, I was glad I did not hit that UCF game. You did hit Pitt. That was actually one of the most exciting games this weekend. Pitt actually won in dramatic fashion, going for two after they kind of had a chance. We're down one after scoring the touchdown and went for two and took the lead. And UCF couldn't muster anything to get in a position to score, and not only did Pitt cover, but they won the game outright, so that was a good call on your part.
Yeah, awesome game. Pittsburgh jumped out 21-0 before UCF came back to score the next 31 points.
It was incredible. It was
quite a seesaw affair, and really, the handicap came through as the Pittsburgh quarterback, Kenny Pickett, threw for 224 yards and really kept them up in the scoring department with that high-flying Central Florida offense. So I like Pittsburgh. They're a team I'm going to be looking to back more this season.
Nice. Heard it here. And then Michigan State, you know, I didn't have the balls to pick Michigan State with the 9 points, but they destroyed Northwestern. Poor Northwestern. They are bad too. And it wasn't even a game. They were up on them so early, and, you know, we were wondering if Michigan State's offense could come through. Well, against Northwestern, they could.
Yeah, that Northwestern offense is really bad. And apparently the defense is on equal footing. I think that Northwestern is going to struggle in a lot of games this year, and now they have to go on the road to face Wisconsin. That could be pretty ugly.
Agreed, agreed. And the last one, finally, we got a win here with App State. App State was the better team all day against North Carolina. They had the game in control, or you know, the whole time. North Carolina did make a push late. Howell was good, you know, in the second half. Again, he seems to be a come-from-behind guy. But App State was able to hold on and get the win, so I won the money line. If you obviously took the spread, you were sleeping like a baby there.
Yeah, it was really a big win for Appalachian State, but it was kind of a fraudulent box score when I went back and looked. North Carolina really dominated them in the yardage, 469 to 385, but it was the minus two turnovers that did them in, and ultimately that was probably a little bit of luck, but we'll take it anyhow.
That's right, absolutely. Well, let's go to the SP Plus this week. Our top 10, we've got some changes. Alabama's number one still at 33.6, but Ohio State jumps up to 31.1, maybe on the benefit of the Georgia game. Georgia dropped to 4 and Clemson to 3. And then you got Wisconsin at 5, Oklahoma 6, LSU, then Florida, Washington, and Auburn. Any surprises besides the jump up with Ohio State?
No, really. Nothing surprises me here in this top 10. I think it's pretty solid ranking, although I would like to see Ohio State favored on neutral against Clemson. Something tells me that would not be the posted line if those two faced off. But outside of that, I mean, both of those teams are playing really well, and we may not see that matchup until January.
Exactly. And it seems like Wisconsin has kind of replaced Michigan at the top of the Big Ten, and I mean, sitting at the 5 spot, I mean, obviously they pounded Michigan. This really helps. But they, you know, we kind of discussed via text. And obviously, I'm still hoping Nebraska does something miraculous. They almost lost to Illinois this weekend. But looks like Wisconsin's got the Big Ten West in a stranglehold right now.
Yeah, I would say that both of our futures, your Nebraska ticket and my Minnesota ticket, are not looking so hot right now.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
there's a lot of Big Ten games left to play, so we'll see what happens.
Exactly. So let's go over some injuries. There's a lot of injuries in college. You've listed Colorado as an injury at wide receiver. I'm going to let you pronounce the name.
Chenault didn't
Nice.
return to the game last weekend with an undisclosed injury, and he is really their entire offense. So without Chenault at wide receiver, they are taking a huge hit on that side of the ball. Not that they had a high-flying offense to begin with.
Exactly. So then we've got some other injuries here. We've got De'Ara King from Houston, which is a key injury. He's going to redshirt the rest of the season. So that's kind of big for their hopes. And of course, my futures on Houston. Well, you're thinking that he's going to transfer, huh?
Yeah, it looks like his dad came out either social media or news media outlet somewhere and said that he's already planning to transfer, and rumors on the street are that he may end up at Oklahoma for the fourth consecutive quarterback transfer.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, Lincoln Riley is a quarterback whisperer, so can't blame him at all. Good for him. Keep that last year of eligibility or whatever. You've got Texas cornerback Jalen Green. He left because of a shoulder injury, and we kind of were talking about that with Texas. That defense is really the issue on that team, and that can't help.
That's the reason that caught my eye. It's just because poor secondary to begin with, and now they lose another starting cornerback. So could lead to more downfall.
BYU has an injury at running back, Tyson Williams. His knee's out for the season, which is too bad because they were kind of upset guys there for a little bit.
Yeah, BYU has been playing a tumultuous schedule, and it won't get easier without their starting running back.
Florida State quarterback James Blackman, he left with a knee injury. You've got an update here. He's out indefinitely. So they're going to go with Alex Hornibrook. Isn't that the guy? Wasn't he in Wisconsin?
Yeah, the ex-Wisconsin quarterback transferred to Florida State, and it's now his team. And he came in and performed pretty admirably last weekend. I didn't catch the stats, but I read that Florida State came back to beat Louisville at the hands of Alex Hornibrook. So big
Uh-oh.
game for him, and it looks like that offense may be taking a little bit of a turn with him at quarterback. They put up 35 points in a 35-24 win against Louisville.
Interesting. Well, good. We'll talk about that in spots then. Utah running back Zach Moss left with a separated shoulder. He's doubtful against Washington State. That's a big matchup this weekend. I also have got the quarterback for Utah, Huntley. He's got a foot issue. He's questionable. That's definitely going to affect the handicap there.
Yeah, I think that Tyler Huntley is probably going to play just given the nature of his position, but the foot injury is certainly going to slow him down as a mobile quarterback. But I was reading that Zach Moss is most likely not going to play this weekend.
Gotcha. Lastly, USC quarterback Kenan Slovis. He left with a head injury. He's not going to play against Washington, is he?
No, I don't think that Slovis is going to be back this weekend, and all indications look like it's going to be Matt Fink starting at quarterback for USC versus Washington.
Now Fink stepped in and threw three touchdown passes against Utah to win. So, I mean, this is crazy. They're third string quarterback now, and they're still putting up big points.
In fact, I think he was supposed to be the fourth string quarterback at the beginning of the year, and now he's elevated into the starting role. And a few of those passes I would characterize as jump balls. And probably a little bit more of an indictment on the Utah secondary than anything else.
That's right. But USC's talent at receiver is really good. So
True.
it's not a bad plan to get 50-50 balls. I mean, you can see it even in the NFL that happens all the time. Mike Evans. They finally, you give them chances to win, and they do. I mean, it's going to make a play out there. Well, what spots do you like in week five for college football?
The first one I picked out was Virginia Tech at home on Friday night. I think it's a Friday night special, and they're playing up against the Duke Blue Devils, and this is really just kind of a play against Duke. I think they're a little bit overrated this season, and SP Plus has this as a 4.7 margin, and I think that you're getting some good value playing on the Virginia Tech Hokies under that field goal. Add in the supreme home field advantage on a night game Friday night, and I think that the crowd is going to be rocking in Blacksburg, and I like that side.
Yeah, that is a nice home field advantage at Blacksburg. Okay. I didn't review that game personally because I'm doing just like the top 50 in the SP Plus. There's so many teams.
Are you saying I'm too far down the list?
Well, you found Coastal Carolina last week. I mean, I can't blame it. It wins money. So I just, you know, didn't do it. Didn't do the research. The other game that we both like, though, is Mississippi State is getting 11 points at Auburn. And for this, it's an interesting handicap. Now, Auburn's been playing really well. I mean, I have been impressed with Bo Nix, a quarterback for Auburn. But Mississippi State's still a quality opponent. 11 points is a big number. And, you know, S&P Plus, you know, it says 3.5 or 3.4, mm-hmm. you know, on a neutral. So that's more like 6.5. So you're getting a lot of value here. Definitely jump on the number early. I have it at 10.5. You got it at 11. So, you know, if you see it, I want to jump on this one early.
Yeah, I definitely like this. Is probably one of my favorite plays of the weekend. Auburn's really just overinflated. That was certainly a good win that they had last weekend. But Mississippi State has a really tenacious defensive line, and I think that those guys in the trenches are bred to compete with Auburn on this level. And even though it's a road game, I think that this 11-point spread is a little bit too many.
Plus, it's a total of 47. 11's kind of a big number for that,
mm-hmm.
unless they really expect Auburn to kind of shut down Mississippi State on offense. So, yeah, I agree with you on this one 100%. That we'll be betting this one. The other one we've got on here is San Jose State at Air Force. Air Force a 19-point favorite. What do you like on this one?
Well, this one's just a pure fade of San Jose State. They got a huge program win at Arkansas last weekend, and mm-hmm. I think that they're likely going to be coming into this one a little bit fat and happy. And mm-hmm. they are one of the worst teams in SP+. They're ranked down near the bottom at 107, with the bottom 100 offense and defense is not too far behind them. And they're playing against a pretty solid team in Air Force who runs that triple option attack. And coming off of a game against a solid SEC team, maybe not so solid in Arkansas, but SEC nonetheless, I think that this is a pure letdown spot for San Jose State. And they're also traveling to altitude there in Colorado Springs. So I think that all lines up against the Spartans.
I agree. I think that that letdown spot is something we've talked about in past podcasts for newer listeners. You kind of see that, especially in college, not as much as in the pros, where the college kids really get up for a game and then they come down to earth. And it happens a lot. And so especially a big win like that on the road. So you can definitely see that. And Air Force is one of those. They're just a grinding program. They're going to grind. So they're going to make it tough on all the opponents and play the same way. So I can see that as a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your Boilers. They're hosting Minnesota. Minnesota is a 1.5-point favorite on the road, but you're going against your Boilers in this one.
Yeah, I think this line is probably just a lazy posting by some of the odds makers. It doesn't appear that quarterback Elijah Sindelar is going to be back for this game. And all of the Purdue ratings and stats this year are purely based on Sindelar being in the lineup. Mm-hmm. The backup quarterback is not nearly the same passer as Sindelar is. And if you recall last year, this Minnesota team just put a butt whipping on Purdue up in Minneapolis 41-10 late in the season. And I think mm-hmm. that they match up really well against the Boilermakers and are likely going to be running all over us and win this game in West Lafayette.
Yeah, it's a small number, just basically win the game essentially, so I can see that for sure. Well, let's talk about this one. This was, you know, maybe I'll change the handicap. Didn't read the notes before I put this on here. I was putting NC State getting 7 points at Florida State based on the SP Plus rating. However, this change of quarterback may be something. I mean, the SP Plus ratings leaves it at 2.5, we'll call it,
mm-hmm.
plus three, that's like 5, 5.5. So getting 7 seems like a big number, but do you think this change of quarterback to Hornibrook merits this line?
Yeah, I do. It was pretty clear that James Blackman was not the answer for Florida State at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think that the sharps are agreeing in this spot too, because if you see it opened up at 4.5 and it's now okay. been pushed out to a 7 pretty quickly. And mm-hmm. I think it takes a lot of sharp money for a line to move that far. So that personally would have me scared away from playing NC State, especially on the road. I'm probably going to stay away from this game altogether, but I'm interested to see how Hornibrook plays.
Yeah, that could be a game changer for that program. I, you know, the Noles haven't looked good this year, but like you said, the second half against Louisville, they played well, and we'll see if they can turn their season around. It's not over yet. Another spot I was looking at is Washington State at Utah. Washington State's getting 6 points. This is a little curious to me. Maybe we could talk through this. We've already talked about the Utah injuries.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, this is a pick 'em on a neutral, so this should be a 3-4 point margin, and you're seeing it at 6. I'm seeing it at 5.5. Am I missing something? This looks like value to me.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. I think that part of this could be in the marathon game that Washington State played last weekend against UCLA.
6 points, yeah.
And did you see the box score where the quarterback Gordon threw for 9 touchdowns and they still lost?
Well, didn't they blow a 32-point lead or something, or 30-point lead?
Yeah, and a lot of turnovers led to that. So I think that is probably a little bit of a misleading final score, although they certainly need to work on that ball security. But when you look at the Washington State passing offense versus this Utah defense, I think that there's a clear mismatch there, and I expect that Gordon and the Washington State Cougars are going to have a lot of success against Utah this weekend.
Would you go money line?
I think that if you're playing this game, money line is not a bad look, but I certainly would like to have those 6 points, and really even a touchdown would be nice, but I don't expect the number to get back to that point.
Right. I mean, the pressure now might be it's -105 on BetOnline plus 5.5. Probably maybe a little pressure, you know, to go up, but I don't know. We'll see. 6 probably is the number in the end. +190 on the money line if you choose to do that.
I would be interested in the total, though. I'm not sure what the number is.
Total's 55.5 right now, with the over being -120. So you got to figure that's going to float up.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get that earlier, maybe pay a little extra juice on that. Because, yeah, that's there's going to be points scored, right? I mean, unless, like you said, unless the Cougars are exhausted.
I mean, it seems a little light to me. I expect Washington State is going to get their points. And then if you look on the other side, the Utah offense will be going up against the 80th ranked defense in Washington State Cougars. So I expect points aplenty in that game.
The other one I've identified, I'm not saying I'm going to bet it, is your Hoosiers. The Hoosiers are getting 14 points at Michigan State. We know that Sparty played great at Northwestern, but Indiana's not half bad in this index. I mean, they're only about a 5-point underdog and a neutral. That really would make it an 8-point spread. They're getting 14. I don't know. Is just Indiana bad on the road?
Well, I'm not sure if you looked at the next page on SP Plus, but the Hoosiers are actually up to 32 in the index, which is the highest point in my recent memory. And I got to tell you, I actually bet the Hoosiers on this game already. I was sitting around on Sunday waiting for the lines to come up and telling my brother that I couldn't go out on the lake until I was able to bet on Michigan State. And I was looking for under 2 touchdowns, but it didn't come out there and I held off. And earlier this week, I just agree with you completely that Indiana is going to be the right side in this game. And I can tell you that a lot of it may hinge on the quarterback's health. Penix has been out with an arm injury, I believe. But he's expected to come back this weekend on all accounts. And if he plays, then I certainly think you have a great bet here.
Great. Well, I'll wait to see that. But again, maybe that number will get pounded down if he's healthy. But yeah, Indiana's playing pretty good.
Yeah.
So, it's just in.
And I can tell you, on our drive home from Bloomington last weekend, my brother decided to jump on Pinnock's Instagram live account, and he was doing a impromptu question and answer, and we were basically interviewing him on the drive back, and I specifically asked him, what do you think of the Michigan State number one ranked defense? And he said that he didn't care, that Indiana's going to come out and do what they do, quote unquote.
Ooh, yeah, nice. Kind of a little side interview for the side action there. That's awesome. Okay, well, let's go jump into NFL. Let's go to the recap of week 3. First of all, kind of a crazy week in general, in my mind. A lot of upsets again. The underdogs came through with record numbers again. I'm not sure what that's all about, but it's not just covers either. A lot of just pure upset wins. If you did money line parlays, I'm sure you made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I had, depending on the numbers, like, between 10 and 12 upsets. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, lots of underdogs barking again. And I think the the totals came back a little bit towards the even. I didn't catch the final number this week, but it seems like there was a little bit more high scoring games that came in. And I also read that the holding penalties were down dramatically. So it sounds like Tom Brady's tweet did some wonders, and it looks like that may level out the scoring a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I have it basically that there were between five and six covers of favorites this weekend, depending on which number you got. So you go straight underdog, you're killing it. And then you had straight up losses. You know, obviously, I mean, early in the week, I guess that Jacksonville wasn't a big number, but you had obviously the Chargers lost straight up. We kind of talked about that. The Seahawks lost straight up. The Buccaneers just blew that game. Mm-hmm. Giants. And then, of course, the Lions, you know, we were on the Lions, but they were a big underdog as well. And then kind of a surprise, the Panthers. And that line flipped all the way over, and they were the underdog, and they won that one outright as well. So I'm sure Vegas took a hit if people were going crazy.
Yeah, but I did hear reports that the two backdoor touchdowns by the Jets basically saved Vegas's bacon Sunday because there were so many parlays that were tied to the Patriots on that spread bet.
That makes sense. Okay. You've noted of injuries, you've got Keanu Neal again for the Falcons. He's out for the year, which is disappointing because he's very key to that defense. And also they have Ito Smith. It looks like he's in the concussion protocol for them. One of the things I noted before the pod, it looks like Melvin Gordon is seriously in talks about coming back to the team for the Chargers. And he's probably seen enough of Austin Ekeler doing really well, I guess. But they kind of need him. I don't know. It's more their defense than offense. But this team is really, they need something. They need a spark.
Yeah. A couple other injuries that I did put on there. T.Y. Hilton picked up a quad injury, and he's day-to-day, which could be big for the Colts, as well as safety Malik Hooker, who's out 4-6 with a knee injury. And for the Patriots, they lost their stalwart fullback, James Devlin, which could be hugely impactful on their running game. I know that they use him in a lot of sets, especially near the goal line, and I was reading that may have an impact on how they run their offense.
Yeah. And then, of course, the biggest one we didn't even talk about was Saquon Barkley. He's out with a high ankle sprain, you know, anywhere between 4 and 8 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. And that's significant for the Giants, although they didn't seem to need him with Daniel Jones lighting it up. And I've been an anti-Jones guy, notable, but I could be completely wrong with that guy. He had a hell of a game on Sunday, and maybe it'll be more of a passing game without him in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems that way. He was passing the ball to Shepard and those guys all over the field, and a great debut for him, but I don't expect him to go out and have games like that every week. 336 yards and 2 touchdowns, and regrettably no interceptions for me.
2 rushing touchdowns, too, on top of that.
Yeah.
He was incredible. Well, let's go over the net yards per play index quickly. No shock that New England's at the top of the list, 2.5 yards per play still net. Dallas is 2.1, so those are the class of the league right now. You got San Francisco, but hey, look at this, Carolina. Carolina's up there. Minnesota, Kansas City, Atlanta, and Buffalo. Interesting, Atlanta's on there.
Yeah.
What was interesting about Carolina is you remove Cam Newton from this team, and this Kyle Allen kid comes in and just lights it up. 4 touchdown passes, you know, almost 400 yards passing. The guy was incredible. Maybe the offense is more befitting for him.
Yeah, I saw somebody post on Twitter the other day that in the last 6 Carolina Panthers games, you've had 4 Cam Newton starts with 0 touchdowns and 2 yes. Kyle Allen starts with 2 touchdowns and then 4 this past weekend against Arizona. So clearly an upgrade over Cam Newton right now, and I think that's something that may continue into this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. The bottom guys are not surprising. Miami, woo, -3.5, still terrible. They played a little bit better, I guess. The Jets, Arizona, Pittsburgh, again at the bottom, Cincinnati. Your Indianapolis Colts, that's interesting, -0.9 in Oakland. So how do you think that Indy's doing it? Because they're winning. They're winning games.
Smoke and mirrors. No, I mean, I just don't think that this offense is explosive anymore. Without Andrew Luck, they don't throw the ball deep. It's a lot of short passes, and they're pounding the rock with Marlon Mack and company. And I think that shows up in their box scores. They're not outgaining opponents tremendously, and I think that they're just winning it with small ball, so to speak. So not a team that I would be laying big numbers with, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're not going to put up big points for sure. The WEGS Index, it's, you know, pretty interesting. It's not completely different, although I don't see Baltimore up there with the game. Patriots are super high, 2.5. That's just a really high number for the index. And then you have a huge drop-off. You've got the Ravens at 6-0, Cowboys 6-3, 49ers 7-3, and then the Chiefs 8-5. So even though the Chiefs beat the Ravens, obviously they gave up a ton of yards late. We didn't talk about that. The Chiefs had the game in hand. They hit those big plays, and then they kind of had to hang on for dear life, and they really didn't get the cover. I know you said you had a push on the game. We can talk about that in a minute. But the Ravens showed me something, and talk about jump balls. Lamar Jackson, oh, my God. He just would throw the ball up there, and the guys made plays for him.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson took a few chances on Sunday. I rewatched the replay last night just to see how that game ended up in the end. And it did kind of look like Kansas City took their foot off the gas defensively late in that game, and they certainly let the Ravens back into it. And they had a chance, really, to get in there if they scored a touchdown and get an onside kick towards the end. But ultimately, the sneaky drop kick by the Ravens didn't fool Kansas City, and they were able to get the ball back and close that game out. I did get a push with Kansas City minus -5, though.
I know, and I was kind of mad, actually. You know, I didn't lose the bet, but I think that if the Ravens would have gone, I think they went for two early in the game or something like that.
Yeah, three times they went for two and failed.
And so it was just kind of killer. I understand why they did it late, but early, that didn't make sense to me. And it kind of made the numbers offset from the beginning. You had 5 or 5.5?
5.
Five even. So, yeah. You know, a lot of, I did see 5.5 some places. That was okay. But, you know, it's interesting how it all shook out. Well, if we look at our picks from last week, you know, we didn't do great on these picks, but interesting spots. The Jets at the New England, you know, we were targeting the under, but I guess it depended on what number you got, because they ended up 44, is that right?
Yeah, it was 44 final. So anybody who got on it early in the week, I know it opened at 47, probably had some winners in there, but I think it even closed under that 44. So there was a wide range of totals last week.
Exactly. My two total misses were the Oakland at Minnesota. I mean, it wasn't a total miss. It was basically a backdoor cover for on the under here for, or the over for, you know, Oakland. They had no business scoring in this game at all. They were pretty bad, in fact. But they get that garbage time touchdown, and, you know, they got over that. You know, I was looking at it. I was at the bar, actually, at the airport watching the game. I'm like, oh, my God, because I was basically watching – Green Bay kick a field goal to beat the other one, because I had the game under for Denver Green Bay. And months later, I see this garbage touchdown, you know, for Oakland. And I'm like, oh, two losers. That's great.
Yeah, damn, that Denver Green Bay game too, just eked over the total. First half, we had 21.5, and that one didn't come in, as the Packers were up 17-10 with a late touchdown. And of course, it was a Joe Flacco fumble that set them up in the red zone. And then, obviously, the late field goal pushed your full game total as well.
That's right. That's right. But we did, you know, get a winner on the first half under for Cincinnati-Buffalo, and that was 22, and Buffalo really should have scored more points. We talked about this via text. It was 14-0 at halftime. They actually left some points out there, which almost cost them the game. They had some opportunities, and there was a fumble inside the red zone, and so they did cover that first half 14-0, but they should have been up more. And then Cincinnati actually showed me something. They came back 17-14, had the lead, but Buffalo put up that game-winning score and did not get us the win in the Circa contest, but they got their own win.
Yeah, our only blemish on the weekend. It's really too bad. Like you said, Buffalo had a chance to put that game away in the first half, and were just settling for field goals, and they couldn't get the ball into the end zone. And crucial TJ Yeldon fumble, probably, I think you texted me at the time, that's going to kill our cover, and sure enough, it did.
Yeah, sad. But, you know, we'll go right into it. I mean, Circa contest tete-a-tete. We went 4-1. We talked about it already. Super excited about that. Wish it would have been 5-0. We were able to jump up to 638th place, so about a third of the way down. So we're doing all right, doing a little bit better, and it's always nice to be on the positive side of picks.
Yeah. And the leaders are only at 13, so that's 4.5 games back if you're doing the quick math there.
One of the things I thought was cool we talked about before the pod was that the D who was running the contest where we signed up, if you're within a point of the quarter total this weekend, you could actually stay for free on the weekend at the casino and watch all the games at the book or whatever. And that's totally awesome. I love that promotion by the D.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the owner, Derek Stevens, and Mike Palm will be down there hanging out with all of the guys who are going for that first place in the quarter prize, too. I'm sure it'd be a fun weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we already decided if we have that situation, we will do it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, let's jump into this week. Now, we don't have the lines like we did last week since we're taping on Wednesday. They'll come out tomorrow, but we're kind of looking at, you know, Westgate openers and things like that, and I've got BetOnline in front of me to discuss. So the first one is Green Bay against Philly. Green Bay is a 4.5-point favorite at home. I see it on BetOnline right now as 4. It's kind of a shame this game is on Thursday, right? We might even jump on this game, but we don't want to have to make all our contest picks on Thursday.
Right. Wait, which side do you like?
Oh, I like Green Bay.
Oh, okay.
100%. I think that Philly, well, according to my metrics, Packers are, you know, I mean, this is a home game. You think you're supposed to get 3. Well, they're better. I mean, they're a full 3.7 better in the index. That's not like SP plus in terms of points, but typically speaking, if you're a home favorite in this situation, it would probably be 5 to 6. So I think it's value on the Packers here. And the Eagles just don't look right. They have a lot of injuries. Got guys, all the talk here in the Philly jersey area is about drop passes and how nobody can catch the ball here. Plus, that defense isn't playing right. I don't know what's the deal. They're just really low in the metrics in terms of the defense. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's too many points on its surface. I'm probably not going to be going to the window with Philadelphia, but for me, it would be underdog or pass.
Gotcha. So
obviously, we're throwing it out as it's a Thursday game.
Totally. A game that I'm looking at, we can discuss. Houston is at home against Carolina. They're 4-point favorites at home. You know, I think in general, Houston's a good team, but this Kyle Allen obviously can play quarterback. And as much as I was against the Panthers in general and Riverboat Ron, I think there might be something here to make this game close. And Houston really has been playing the kind of defense that I thought that they would.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't mind going at this game. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I agree. I think Carolina is the side here, especially if we can get a number posted at 4. Their defense has been excellent this year. 9th ranked according to Football Outsiders DVOA, and that defensive line has been and always will be a good defensive line. And going up against that shoddy Texans line who can't seem to keep Deshaun Watson clean, I think that there's an advantage there for the Carolina defense.
Right. One of the things I note in my index is the Panthers, I believe, are at this moment, their turnover differential is -2. Well, a lot of that's Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you take that out of the mix, that really improves your chances to win. So I want to keep that in mind. Check that one out. Another one, we've got Baltimore. They're 5.5-point favorites at home against Cleveland. Cleveland just, I don't know, obviously the hype train and everything. They played a little bit better against the Rams on Sunday night. They kept it kind of close until the Rams got their cover score late. But I think these Ravens are for real. And 5.5, it's maybe a big number, but I like the Ravens in that spot.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just starting to think that Baltimore might be a little bit fraudulent. They did not play well in the first part of that game against Kansas City. Now, I know that it was partly due to that strength of schedule and how prolific the offense of the Chiefs are, but I'm just not sure that Baltimore is quite as high-flying as we all thought they were after the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a good buy-low spot for the Cleveland Browns. I think that of any game, they know that this is their season. And if they lose this one, they're going to end up being 2 back to the Ravens, which is really their only competition for the division. And I have a feeling that Cleveland's going to get up for this game. I mean, I'd be interested to see what the number comes out to be. I think that it may be in this dead zone, but if it ends up any higher than that, it's something that I would want to look at.
Well, it's up to 7 on BetOnline. So if it's that high, then I'm definitely staying away or going Cleveland. But we'll have to see. I mean, we'll see what it shakes out. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, again, Wegg's index is early, man. It's only 3 weeks in. You know, this isn't massive data. the eye test does tell you that the Ravens, you know, they were kind of throwing some stuff up there and getting some late scores. They were getting beat pretty bad early, but the Browns haven't played good. So yeah. We'll see.
Well, I also think that the coaching is a huge mismatch in this game. John Harbaugh is one of the best in the league, and Freddie Kitchen has proven to us in the last couple of weeks, especially on Sunday night, that he can't perform in those big spots.
He cannot. All right, another game is the Giants. They're hosting Washington this week. They're 3-point favorites, and that's probably about right. These teams are pretty even on paper, although the Daniel Jones factor, you may not be a believer. I'm not either, but that may be an undersold factor for this one. Is this a stay-away spot because both teams stink?
I think we should probably throw this one out. I mean, part of me wants to be contrarian and go with Washington here, but after watching mm-hmm. them get dismantled by the Bears on Monday night, it's hard for me to go to the window with them, and likewise for Daniel Jones in his second start.
It would be ironic if they decided to turn to the rookie here, Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, that would be.
And probably a mistake, but just because of the narrative of all the Daniel Jones selection and everything. Keenum looked terrible against the Bears. I mean, he was turning the ball over every 10 seconds, but he's had some big plays against poor defenses, and the Giants aren't that great. They obviously gave up a ton against Tampa. It was just the Tampa defense somehow, I don't know what happened to them in the second half. They just kind of imploded.
Yeah, I really like the over in this game while we're talking about it. 49 points, and that Giants secondary is awful. I expect Washington and Case Keenum will have some offensive success on Sunday, and really the Giants on the flip side too. So 49 should be an attainable number.
All right. The Chargers are 17-point favorites at Miami. We know Miami stinks. They are the worst in every metric we have. But there was a chance that they were going to cover the other day. I bet there was a little bit of a scare early, you know, for Dallas. And 17, man. I mean, these numbers are still historically high, and the Chargers aren't playing great. Any chance to take the Dolphins again on the with the points?
You could talk me into Miami, for sure. This is a really, really tough spot for the Chargers. They come off of a huge deflating loss to Houston last weekend, and now they have to fly all the way across the country to play against Miami in that heat. And I think Miami showed us a little something, especially in the first half against Dallas. Josh Rosen looked like he was serviceable at quarterback. Yes. And I think that if they're going to get up for a game, it's going to be this weekend against the LA Chargers. And 17 is a little bit higher than I expected this number to be, honestly.
Right. I see 16.5 in BetOnline. So maybe I'm sure they'll be sharper with it in the contest. But they'll probably get 16 or something. Thanks for nothing. But yeah, I mean, it's we'll take a look.
Yeah, it would be hard to convince me anything under 17.
Right. Now you got your Colts at home against the Raiders. They're 7-point favorites from what you've got as the open. Interesting is that it probably fits into my index, but you believe the Colts are one of your favorite titles, a paper tiger.
Yeah, I really think so. And it's just, this is a huge number for Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. They haven't been 7-point favorites in the Jacoby Brissett era, in my memory. And even though Oakland is near the bottom of all metrics, they're 29th ranked in DVOA and 27th on offense. I think that it's just going to be hard for Indianapolis to outscore any opponent by that many points.
Now, in maybe the Colts' defense, the Raiders are pretty bad. They're kind of dipping. Like, it was funny. They had that great Monday night win opening night and scored on their first drive against the Chiefs, and it feels like they have done nothing since then. So I don't know. It's just tough. It may be tough for me to back the Raiders. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing, a road team that's bad. But we can talk about it more when we get the lines and see what they say.
Yeah, it would certainly be a hold-your-nose kind of play.
Okay. All right, Kansas City, 6.5-point favorites at Detroit. Detroit was our darling pick last week. They came through in the clutch and won the game outright. Looked like the better team all day. Kansas City could be a letdown spot with Baltimore. And Matt Patricia, his defense is playing pretty good. What do you think about this spot?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's going to be Detroit or pass in this game. I think it's going to be super interesting to see where the number comes out on Thursday. I don't expect it'll be 7, though. Like you say, those Circa guys have been pretty sharp so far, and I think it'll probably end up being 6 or 6.5. I read somewhere today that this is Patrick Mahomes' first dome game.
Really?
So,
That's fascinating. Okay.
yeah, very interesting to see how that offense performs in that turf environment. And I imagine it's going to be pretty well. Although Detroit has a very, very good secondary. Darius Slay has been playing very well this year, but I did see he picked up a little bit of an injury, and that would be something I'd want to monitor before we think about the Lions.
That total is 54.5, which is a typical Chiefs total, but Detroit has actually been holding opponents down. I mean, like I said, save that fourth quarter overtime against Arizona, this team has played really well
Yeah.
offensively. So that might be another play at under, going under against Kansas City. Oh
Yeah,
no.
that would be tough to stomach too.
All right, New England, a 7-point favorite at the Bills. This is one of these situations. We like the Bills. They didn't come through last week. 7 points, a big number. And I don't know, in Buffalo, I mean, if any team's going to hold this team down a little bit, it may be the Bills. Any chance you take those points?
I would like to, but I don't think you convinced me to put our contest on it. I probably am going to be betting on Buffalo. What I like here more is probably a correlated parlay with the under,
Okay.
especially if you can find it at 42. It's a lot of points to be laying in a game with a total that low. However, that New England defense has been incredible this year. They still haven't given up a touchdown on that side of the ball.
Oh man, is that true? When they gave up two defensive scores?
Yeah, the first one was a muffed punt that the
Oh.
Jets scooped and score, and then the second one was that pick six by Stidham.
My God. I mean, I'm telling you, okay, I'll mention it now. We talked on the podcast. One of the reasons why I'm trying to figure out why this Patriots defense is so good so early is that they don't have a defensive coordinator this year. Their defensive coordinator is Bill Belichick. So he obviously was a great coordinator in his day and clearly understands defenses like nobody else. I'm thinking that his game plans are incredible and he's doing it maybe not himself, but he's obviously calling the defenses on the field and it's making a huge difference. Now, this won't be a test of the defense because the Bills, I mean, Allen can run the ball a little bit. They've got a decent passing game, but it's not like it's the Chiefs. So I think this was some, I'm just thinking, could it be a slugfest and be kind of a, 17-14 game or something like that, or even 21-17 or but yeah, like you said, the Bills are going to have to score to get within that number, and we're not sure if they can.
Yeah, I think that Bill Belichick is going to have a number of things up his sleeve for good old Josh Allen. And I think it's going to be an intriguing football game. I can't wait to watch it and see what we can learn about it, but I certainly like the under more than anything else this week in that game.
Yeah, 41.5 is the total.
Yeah, 42, a couple across the board here.
Nice. Okay, Atlanta is hosting Tennessee. They're 4.5-point favorites. This is going to be a test of my index and just kind of my thinking. The Titans didn't play well against Jacksonville last week, especially because of the turnover, early in that game. But their defense is solid. And obviously, Atlanta's a different team outside of their dome versus somewhere else. They're going to be at home. I don't know. I just don't believe in Atlanta this year. I don't know why. I don't know if 4.5 points is enough for you to take the Titans, though.
I would consider the Titans. I agree. I think this is a good buy low spot on Tennessee after they performed last week against Jacksonville. The whole world is going to be against them, including the public, which may drive this number up a little bit. And their defense is very solid. Football Outsiders has them ranked inside the top 10 at number 5, in fact. So great defense going up against that Atlanta offense, and I could be swayed on that side. On the flip side, the Atlanta defense just picked up another huge injury with Keanu Neal going out, and hopefully that gives Mariota a little bit of hope, or Tannehill, perhaps.
Well, I was hoping they went to Tannehill the other night. Well, the other thing is, Tennessee, it's all about game script. If they can keep the game in their sweet spot where they can run the football, it's a totally different game. He got out of it last week. Mariota had to pass a bunch of times. He's not that great. And so we'll see how it goes. It may be a stay away just because, again, we like to trust teams we like.
Yeah.
But,
And the Atlanta run defense has actually been pretty good this year. Seventh ranked on defensive line with only 3.6 adjusted line yards per carry. So if they were down, that would be something that would interest me if they were poor against the run.
Okay. Next game, Rams are hosting Tampa Bay. They're 9.5-point favorites. That's how we see it now. It's really weird. I think the Rams are a great team. And I told you I still had them in the Super Bowl beginning of the year. but it just sticks out when I look at the index. As bad as Tampa looked in the second half last week, their defense has played better this year with Todd Bowles as the defensive coordinator, and there's something wrong with this line. Like, I'm not saying that they can't cover the number because the Rams can do it, but it's not like the Rams are the high-flying Rams of the year before or the last 2 years, and 9.5 is a big number for NFL teams.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this LA Rams team hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire on offense. They haven't been scoring like they normally have in years past, and for that reason, I think there's a ton of value on Tampa Bay here in that defense. They are playing really well this year. Todd Bowles has got them turned around quite a bit, and that defensive line is really good. Seventh ranked for Football Outsiders on defense, so I think that would be the way to look here. I'm in agreement with you on this one.
Okay, well, we'll see. That's one of our options later, and I hate to go against the Rams, but, you know, it's about the numbers.
Absolutely.
Seattle is going to Arizona. They are a 4-point favorite on the road. Talk about a paper tiger. Seattle, I don't know what with this team. Honestly, week one, they should have lost. Week two, they played Pittsburgh, who stinks, I guess. Last week, they got crushed at home against the Saints. I don't know what to believe with this team. You like Arizona in this matchup.
Yeah, I just think this is way overrated Seattle team. And I didn't expect that New Orleans would fare so well against them last weekend. Although I went back and watched the game last night, and a few of those touchdowns came on special teams early on. And then they just really let Kamara do his thing in the second half and kind of ice the game away. So it wasn't really quite what I expected when I went back to watch it. Although Seattle, I mean, Russell Wilson had a huge game. And I expect that he'll probably do something similar against that really crappy Arizona defense. Personally, I think it's maybe something that we put in the maybe category, but I certainly don't think we want to back Seattle.
It's hard to back Arizona, but I don't know. I mean, traditionally these teams actually do. I mean, Seattle loses in Arizona all the time. It's really weird. Obviously this is a different era with Kingsbury and everything, but okay, maybe. Here we go. Bears hosting Minnesota. They are a 2.5-point favorite at home. I hate to say it, and I don't know if my friends are going to listen to this, but the Vikings is a better team here.
Good.
They are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the Bears' defense is incredible, but they haven't looked good except against Washington, who really they got all those turnovers. It's not like they scored off of offense. It was turnovers mainly. And the Vikings are really good, but I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I agree. I was afraid that you were going to like the Bears in this game. I think that this is a total mismatch. The Vikings defense has been excellent this year, and now they get to face off against Trubisky, who really only had a good game on Monday night because the Redskins kept gifting him the ball in the red zone.
Of course.
I think that Mike Zimmer is cut above Nagy right now, although I certainly wouldn't put Nagy in the bottom third. But no. Zimmer is on his game, and that Vikings rushing attack has been stellar. It's going to be a fascinating matchup against that Bears defensive line this week. But if you can get Minnesota getting points on the road in this game, I think it's a good look.
Probably, what's the total in this one?
It's 38. 30.
But yeah. I was thinking under for sure, but 38 is a low total, but this could be one of the old school, like black and blue division matchups from the 80s here. Low scoring. All right, let's see. We've got a couple more games. You've got Denver. They're hosting Jacksonville. Right now we're listing it as Denver laying 3 points at home, which, I mean, they're the home team. They're going to get the 3 points. I think that the Jags are better. I think both defenses are pretty good. But I believe in Gardner Minshew, man. I mean, the guy, he looked good. He looked good against that Tennessee defense. And he's a little bit of a gunslinger, but he's accurate, gets the ball out early. And I don't believe that Flacco is going to hold up against that Jags defense. So I would be on the Jacksonville side here.
Yep, I totally agree. I'm looking for any possible chance that we can fade Denver this year. And if you're getting Jacksonville +3 in this game, I think that we should jump all over it. Gardner Minshew played really well against Tennessee on Thursday, and I've been impressed with him so far. And like you said, the Jacksonville defense has really picked it up in the last couple of weeks. If you recall the week before that, they dominated against Houston on the road. So imagine what they're going to do against that paper Denver offensive line. I'm already predicting Flacco several turnovers in this game. So I love this pick. It's probably my favorite on the board.
All right. There you go. In agreement on that one. We've got Dallas. They're 3-point favorites at New Orleans. Is that right? They're at New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know. I mean, I know that the Saints played really well at Seattle last week, but it is the Dome, but I'm a believer in this Cowboys team, and 3 points, I think that's enough to lay. That's my take on it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think this line is really fishy to me. When I saw it, I thought I kind of did a double take because it really is an odd number. I kind of expected it to open it up a little bit lower, Dallas minus one or 1.5, 2 perhaps. But I think that the number where it is really tells a story. And you and I talked last week, I didn't really trust Bridgewater as a starting quarterback. And I went back and intently watched that tape to see what Sean Payton did at quarterback. And Taysom Hill didn't hardly take any snaps, which I was surprised to see. So more of Bridgewater against that stout Dallas defense is something that I certainly will sign up for. And on the flip side, Dallas really was impressive against Miami in the second half. I do think that they take a little bit of a step back without the dynamic receiver, Michael Gallup. But I still like this offense, and I think that they're going to win in New Orleans on Sunday night.
All right. Yeah, Dallas is third in yards per game and fourth in scoring right now, and their scoring defense is fourth. So, I mean, they're playing great. They've played nobody so far, but I mean, this team's legit. It'll be a big game for the Saints. The Saints really need to win it if they want to still stay in the playoff mix. Although the division's kind of imploded, so they could still win the division maybe at 9-7 this year since everybody's losing. But originally we were looking at the Saints being the home field advantage like last year, and that's not looking so great.
Yeah, Dallas ranked number one on offense, according to Football Outsiders right now. And New Orleans is 28th on defense.
Yeah, they haven't played well. All right, the last game is Pittsburgh against Cincinnati. Pittsburgh is a 5-point favorite at home. Traditionally, you would probably jump all over the Steelers, but this Steelers team is just bad. Now, they should have won on Sunday. They blew the game. James Conner fumbles the ball inside the 25-yard line within 5 minutes of the fourth quarter to gift San Francisco the touchdown. The defense played a little bit better against them, but in the end, 0-3 for the Steelers. I don't see the Steelers losing this game. I can't imagine a scenario that they're going to be 0-4, especially at the hands of the Bengals, but I don't know if it's more of a stay away, but I still think that they're laying too many points in this game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the number is probably a little bit too high, but I also agree that I think we should probably just stay away from this altogether. You and I were lucky to get that Pittsburgh ticket to the window on Sunday after 5 turnovers, and they still barely covered. So I think that one was probably another box score, which is a little bit misleading when you look at the final score.
I was very disappointed because I did the Steelers money line plus 245.
Oh, ouch.
Dang. That's why I was so pissed. I was like, you know, I really could have used that to help out the week, but whatever. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, Rudolph was kind of pedestrian, only 174 yards, 2 touchdowns and 1 pick. And the touchdown to Smith-Schuster was really kind of a luck box. I mean, he broke 2 tackles that should have brought him down midfield. So I don't know.
I mean, it was one of those things that they had a chance, but trust Mike Tomlin to blow it in the fourth quarter, apparently. Well, that's the slate. I mean, it's a full slate. We'll see what happens when Circa comes out tomorrow. We'll check it out. We'll talk again and lock in, but we're looking forward to closing this first quarter on a high note. Looks like we have a couple that we agree upon. We'll just have to fill out the next couple and go from there. So just a little update. It looks like we will be getting, hopefully, that interview on the pod next week. It was mainly my fault this week because I'm out of town to get the timing together with Patrick Everson. And then should be back on regular schedule from here on forward. I don't know. With my travel schedule, we'll see. Exciting.
Hey, no worries, man. You got to make that paper in real life because we know we got to pick up our picks here. which I fully expect we will. And if we can knock out a 5-0 this week, it'll really set us up nicely for that second quarter, and we can get on a little bit of a run here. So let's get to it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. But do send your questions or send your successes in betting. We want to hear if you've been using our picks or at least the circuit picks or something to win some money. So follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
So good luck this weekend. Some great games again to follow.
Yeah, hopefully those Hoosiers follow through and do what they do, and you and I can do what we do.
Cash and tickets.
All right. Later, everybody. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.